Welcome home. We are WNST, Tassel Baltimore, AM 1570, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road later on this month. The Cheatstro's coming to town. We'll be at Fadley's, even though I'm wearing my State Fair shirt. We'll be at State Fair on September the 24th. I learned that earlier this week with County Executive Angela Alsobrooks from Prince George's County. She is running for U.S. Senator against Larry Hogan. We have an invitation out to the former governor as well. Hope to have them both on. Hope to give them both a Maryland Lottery scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. Gold Rush, sevens, doublers. I will have the Ravens scratch-offs by the time we get to the Oyster Tour in September. It is now, it's not an R month, but it's an R month for Ravens. It is August. It is football month around here. We'll get the Crab Cake Tour back out. Also brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, keeping our water crystal clear, which makes my coffee even more delicious, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, who has powered Luke up in getting Luke down to Camden Yards for various Mike Elias press conferences and trading deadline things. Orioles now back out on the road. They'll be in Cleveland this weekend, and Luke will be settled in Owings Mills, where they're I used to call them two-a-days and all that. I don't know what to call them now. We used to say, well, training camp's in August, and it started 3 weeks ago, it feels like, for you at least. But it's finally August. They're going to play some fake football here shortly, next weekend. They had this Green Bay thing going on. So just, you were away a little bit, too. You were on baseball duty and trade deadline duty and all that, and Lord knows they made enough moves. How's the football thing going? It's been – you hadn't seen Lamar throw a pass in anger out there, I don't think, in a while, right?
Well, I saw him throw over the weekend, but I wasn't there Monday and Tuesday, and I thought, okay, I don't want to miss three straight days of practice. Trade deadline's over. And then, of course, they recall Jackson Holliday, and Jordan Westbrook gets hurt on Wednesday. And the Ravens, after they had practiced in pads for the previous 5 days, they were in shells and shorts, and it wasn't much of a practice on Wednesday. So I'm thinking, man, I really made the wrong decision here in terms of missing the action. But it's funny, you mentioned it being August, and your point is well taken about it feeling like training camp's already been going for quite a while. I actually was talking to a Ravens staffer. It was just a day or two ago, and they said, man, we're in the dog days of camp. I said, dude, It's not even August yet. I mean, we got a long way to go. I mean, the Hall of Fame game is just this week, where no starters are playing. The Ravens will kick off the preseason next Friday. No starters are playing other than the guys that are trying to be starters, and we don't know if they're going to be starters just yet. So there's such a sense of hurry up and wait in terms of waiting for the next notable thing to happen. But in the meantime, they're getting their work in, and they have put on the pads over the last week. And we've talked so much about the Ravens or the Orioles with Westbrook's injury, McCann having his nose broken, all of that. You know, the Ravens, you know, it's been going okay from a health standpoint. They did lose Malik Ham, the rookie edge rusher who made the team last year as an undrafted free agent, but was on IR, never got to the field. He tore his ACL on Monday. Unfortunate. I'm not convinced he was going to make the 53-man roster, but John Harbaugh, you know, as he's apt to do when someone gets injured, he's going to prop them up and offer encouraging words. You know, he expressed the sentiment that Malik Ham was going to play for them this year. And we've talked about the edge rusher battle, and not so much for the starters. Owe and Kyle Van Noy are going to be those guys, but what about David Ajabo? What about Tavius Robinson? What about Adisa Isaac, the rookie third round pick who's still on the NFI list? So there are definitely snaps to be won there. So Malik Ham out of that picture. Beyond that, kind of just dealing with camp issues and, you know, soreness and, you know, some tweaked hamstrings and things of that nature. Stuff that you fully expect this time of year, but nothing that's season altering. So in the meantime, they're just, you know, they're plugging along. They're stacking days, as coaches like to describe it as, and trying to figure out what this offensive line is going to look like, trying to figure out in a different way how the secondary is going to look because of the depth they have there. I think Zach Orr has, you know, I don't know if it's an embarrassment of riches, but there's definitely some improved depth that a few months ago you and I weren't necessarily talking about. So, you know, what's that going to look like in terms of the nickel, the dime, different variations of that they can play. So, you know, this time of year, you're getting glimpses of that, and they're not making any firm decisions. You know, we've talked about this with the O-line. I fully expect them to still rotate some guys and try out some different alignments and everything. But to your point, you know, we're talking about the calendar turning to August, you know, we're still a month plus out until they play a real game. So still a lot of time here to let the different position battles marinate and to really feel, you know, get a better feel for what this football team is going to look like. But expectations are high. We certainly know that.
I want to ask you about the offense a little bit, because you and I haven't deep dived or argued much about Lamar passing versus Lamar running versus Eddie George. Leonard Raskin came on, and the first thing, he's a fan, you know, he'll admit he's not much more or less than that, but he's like, Lamar looks skinny. He looks like he's going to get broken in half. And I'm like, well, when you stand him next to Eddie George, he's going to look small. Or Eddie George, Derrick Henry, excuse me.
I was going to say, man, talk about a slip right there.
Yeah,
that's good.
I've been on Oiler websites too much lately. Did you see my Earl Campbell sweater, by the way? I'm going to wear that one day.
I did. That's sharp.
It's too warm out to wear.
That's a winter, late fall kind of jersey. Yeah.
No, that's a definite, like, winter. I mean, it's thick. So nonetheless, Derrick Henry, my other favorite Oiler running back, for at least for one day last year, and what the balance will look like. And Harbaugh always hated this question. It's one of the reasons he threw me out and then lied about it. But I would say, even if I was sitting in his office, which I did many times, just he and I'd say, what's this supposed to look like when it's over with? And he would always say, it's supposed to look like victory. Okay, John. The stats at the end of the year have never been normal for Lamar. They've never been anything like what you would measure against the history of the game for how we measure quarterbacks, passing efficiency, interceptions, touchdowns, those kinds of things. It's a different measurement. I've often wondered, and from the beginning, and I've wondered out loud to the Cosmos, because even when I've asked them, even when I've asked Eric DaCosta sitting on a plane next to me, what's the balance supposed to look like? Ideally, when you draw it up at the beginning of the year to say how much Lamar, how much Henry, how much Andrews. And I say this to you every year, like, let's write down those sets. How many balls is Odell Beckham going to get? And by the way, dude, whatever I said last year that was flipping and nasty and all of that, I probably said he was going to catch 40 balls. I probably said that. And I'm sure I did. I can go back through the transcripts. But this is the time of the year where I look at it and say, what are we penciling likely in for? What are we penciling Andrews? What's the real expectation for Flowers in year two? What's the real expectation for Bateman after they've given him the money and talked all this greatness about him that we've never seen, that we've only seen a spark? I mean, he hasn't been a difference maker at all for where they drafted him. Flowers feels like he could be, but it feels like when we talk about this team and we get all moist and we all start clearing our schedules for January into February. And where's the Super Bowl this year? Where am I not going?
New Orleans.
All right. I'm not going to New Orleans. Been there, had the beignets. It's lovely. We had a hell of a parade. Go see the videos. When that happens, how was this successful? And I don't mean what every flippant jerk fan would say, which is better run the ball more than three times against the Chiefs in the championship game at home. I mean, it sounds ridiculous for me to even say that 6 months later. I don't mean that. I mean, over the course of the season, if this thing goes perfectly, what does this offense look like? We're talking about the line, but what are they blocking for? And how often do you really want Derrick Henry to touch the ball in his 30s? And how often do you really want Lamar Jackson running the ball these days?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to look dramatically different. And why would it? They went 13-4 last year. They were the best team in the NFL in the regular season. It's so funny when people ask me this, and I'm not picking on you, because I do other radio hits in other markets, and especially there when you're
not as
looking
good
at
as
it
here,
right. Yes. But when you look at, like, you know, when you talk about it from a 30,000 foot big picture perspective, people ask me what the Ravens need to do differently to get over the hump, and it's just like, look, there's nothing really in the regular season. I mean, the regular seasons have been great. The regular seasons, when Lamar Jackson's been healthy, they haven't had issues. They've been either the number one seed, or they're winning the division, or, you know, they're comfortably in the playoff field. So it really does come down to, what does January look like? And I don't say that to be flippant. You know, I'm kind of, you know, doing the opposite of kind of what you the questions you posed. They need to play better when they get to that moment. There was nothing wrong with their team last year until they just played like you know what against the Chiefs. And from Lamar on down and the coaching staff on down. I mean, that they just collectively kind of turtled up. And you can't do that on the biggest stage. So I don't think it's anything fundamental that they really need to change other than just you need to be better in the biggest moment. And that sounds very simplistic, but I'm talking about a team that was the best in the NFL last year. I'm talking about a team that was the best in the NFL in 2019. I'm talking about a quarterback who's won the MVP twice in the last 5 years.
You know, one of the reasons he wins the MVP, he doesn't throw interceptions, man.
Yeah,
you know, like the football. Just the more, and one of the things we were always concerned about was that mesh point of the ball hitting the ground a lot, and that's happened, and it's been unfortunate. And Lamar has thrown interceptions and have cost them games, and that's what happens when you've been playing for six years. And I look at the season stats, and some of them are really truncated because he just stopped playing in November a couple of the years,
right?
So you know he doesn't get over 3,000 yards passing. But the amazing thing is, I am on a Pro Football Reference, which Baseball Reference is better, but Pro Football Reference, they don't even have rushing stats for quarterbacks. It's not built into their algorithm. I have to figure out how to find his rushing yards off of the stat package as I go left and right on it, because quarterbacks don't, we don't judge them on rushing yards, but we judge Lamar on that. And I think this whole thing about having a Hoss running back, which one of the two of us have been recommending, Derrick Henry or Eddie George or, you know, Barry Word or Christian Okoye or anybody else that could be something. And I said Mark Ingram, who I liked more than you did. But I feel like they have not played their ideal football yet. If that makes any sense. If at any point I were to say to Harbaugh, and he's really being honest with me, and he and I were like old school, like Billick and I would do, would sit in there and pencil it out and say, what do you really want from Lamar this year? You want him to throw the ball 400 times? Have you want how many times you really want him to run? You play 17 games, John. So if you say 170, that's 10 times a game. So I'm just trying to factor this out over the year, because that's the way they have to do it this time of year, to say load management, how much is too much. Hey, John, Lamar ran the ball 21 times today and you have to play in 4 days. Is that a good idea? He didn't like that question. They threw me out for that 3 years ago. So, and clearly it was too much running, and clearly three runs against the Chiefs at home is not good enough in retrospect. And it's a thing that, you know, I mean, we're going to burn Buck Showalter for leaving Zach Britton on the bench. If that's the high watermark, if they never get back to a championship game with Lamar, and that's possible, if it never happens, oh my God, he should fry for, I mean, as a head coach, as an organization, for the game plan that they pulled out at home against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Now, they better hope they live long enough and play well enough to rectify that at some point, right? I mean, you know, and rectifying that means Derrick Henry, and that's why you have a guy like that. I just think their power running game this year could be amazing, but we don't know anything about their offensive line. So then I go back to, oh, this is what happens. They fall behind 10 points, and Lamar tries to do everything himself. That's the way it's been for 6 years. Won't have to do that, but the offensive line is the big banana in all this, because passing and running, Lamar, none of this goes if that's as leaky as it could be. I mean, they don't have is. They have nothing but might be's on the offensive line. So if it all works out, how does this look?
I think it looks very similar to last year. And I don't mean the AFC championship game. I mean what they did last year. They led the league in rushing. I'm going to continue to remind you of this. They led the league in rushing last year. Like, I am fine with the Derrick Henry acquisition, but this idea that he is this transformative figure. Now, better than Gus Edwards, better than J.K. Dobbins, better than Mark Ingram, all that. I'm on board with that. But I don't think they're going to double their rushing attempts or anything like that. They already run the ball a ton, is my point. Even with their running backs.
But if they're getting a yard and a half more on every rush, they won't have to double their rushing.
Well, they're not twice. I'm not sure they're going to increase their yards per carry.
Hey, dude, there's nothing better than Lamar in second and one and second and two all day long, second and three.
Sure.
I mean, we saw that in 19, and Marshall Yanda's watching the game still looking for it, literally.
Yeah, So I think what we're looking at, I mean, and I'm just let's just look at Lamar's two MVP seasons just to make it more of an easier, looking at numbers. So in 2019, Lamar played 15 games, sat out the regular season finale. He carried the ball 176 times. In 2023, played 16 games, so sat out, of course, the regular season finale. He ran the ball 148 times. So obviously he was carrying more than 10 times a game in 2019. In 2023 was just under 10 times a game. It was right around 9 carries per game. Now, what that doesn't tell you is Lamar Jackson's designed run percentage dropped dramatically in 2023. They did not run Lamar as a designed run, pre-snap designed run, nearly as much with Todd Monken at the helm compared to Greg Roman in
Well,
the
they also
past.
lost
Lamar
him
Jack.
for 2 years injured. And you would say, well, he didn't get injured passing the ball, but he got injured. They don't, there's a reason they wear a red jersey out there when you're running around and you have the access that I don't have. They don't want to touch the quarterback. So designing plays in the huddle that get your quarterback tackled, running into heat, it stunned me in Canton the first time I saw it 7 years ago. And they've gotten away from that. And I'm sure Todd Monken came in and said, we can do what we want. We design one run. He goes in and runs into somebody. That was a bad play call.
I mean, we're going to disagree about that. Lamar Jackson running the football is not a bad play call. Now, Lamar Jackson premeditated doing that 22 times. And look, they never went into a game saying deliberately they want Lamar to run 22 times. When you're in the midst of a game, though, and you need to win a football game, and that's your best play, you got to do it. And that's where I will take up for John Harbaugh a little bit, not in how he answers your question about that, not in the tone, but in understanding that you don't sit down and game plan and say, okay, how are we going to win this week, guys? All right, we're going to get Lamar 23 carries, and Derrick Henry's going to carry this number of times, and Zay Flowers is going to catch. It doesn't work that way. You have a game plan put in mind in terms of what you do well, what your opponent does well, what they don't do well, who you're going to target in coverage, because you say, oh, that guy can't play. We need to isolate him against Mark Andrews, and we're going to dominate there. But you don't sit there filling out like a fantasy football box score as far as what it's going to look like.
Yeah, but
So,
then you game
again,
plan for the biggest game of the year or the biggest game of your career, run the ball 3 times, and 8 months later, nobody's answered much of a question about how the hell did that happen? How did that? Let's
I'll
make
tell
sure
you how
that
it
doesn't happen
happened.
again.
I'll tell you how it happened. In early down situations, early in the game, when it was a game neutral situation, meaning they weren't up by three touchdowns in the way that they were quite often up by three touchdowns last year, they threw the ball a lot more than people realize. Now, I am not saying that explains all of it. I am not forgiving Todd Monken and John Harbaugh for all of that. But I think people also need to understand what their offense actually was last year, which was a much more balanced offense in the first half when it was still close games and they threw the ball way more than people think in early down situations. And then as games went on and they took leads, they were able to bleed the game with their running game, even if it wasn't as dominant with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill as it had been with Gus Edwards a few years earlier or Mark Ingram 4 years earlier. So in that way, yeah, I think they're going to run the ball more, it maybe in those situations because you will have Derrick Henry, but I don't think they're turning back the clock to being as run heavy as they were in 2018 and 19, because I just don't think that's how you win football. I don't think that's how you win football games in 2024. I just don't. I think you have to throw the football. Now, that doesn't mean you become, Lamar's going to throw it 650 times. Lamar had a career high in pass attempts last year, and he was at 457. That's still on the lower spectrum of what you typically look at with quarterbacks who put up these big passing numbers. So I think what was good about that, and this is where I would say, don't fall back into, oh, we just have to run the ball, because you made this point yourself. Lamar Jackson, despite throwing a career high number of times, still only had 7 interceptions. So it worked. It was efficient. It was going well. He had a career high in yards per attempt. He had a career high in completion percentage. So just because of what happened in the Kansas City game, and just because, yeah, Gus Edwards was at a point where it looked like probably not going to hold up nearly as well. I'm going to be interested to see what he looks like with the Chargers compared to what he looked like with the Ravens in previous years. So I think that's a factor. But just because you're adding Derrick Henry, and this is where I'll get into, again, difference between regular season and the postseason. Nestor, the last thing I want to see is the Ravens run Derrick Henry so much in the regular season that I'm then having questions as far as how fresh he is for January. Every move they make at this point is about January. I don't care what they do in the regular season. I really don't. And when I say that, I mean with the understanding that, yes, they're going to win games and be what they've been under Lamar, which is a consistent playoff team and consistently playing into the divisional round of January. But, you know, this isn't about, oh, can we go 15-2 rather than 13-4? You know, this is the same argument we've been having, not argument, but just conversation we've been having with the Orioles in terms of, okay, they won 101 games and they got swept in the divisional series. Does that mean they need to win 106 games this year to take the next step? No, that's not how it works at all. You know, the Orioles could win 95 games or 92 games when it's all said and done, and people won't be nearly as high on them. And if they win a World Series, everyone will be happy and they won't care about what their regular season record was. The Ravens are in the same boat at this point. It's not about drastically changing their identity, but they do want to be able to run the ball better in situations. And I think more so maybe if they can mix in a few more runs earlier in games when it's closer and maybe not have to, you know, certainly don't want to be in a position that they were in against the Chiefs. I hear all that, you know, and that's where I say I'm fine. You know, I never said I hated the Derrick Henry acquisition. It's just, for me, it's fundamentally understanding, you know, what your identity is. I've heard some people say the Ravens, they'll be able to close out games better now. When have they had issues closing out games over the history of the Lamar Jackson era? I mean, Gus Edwards was a really good closer. I think if you just want to say Derrick Henry's an upgrade over that, sure, but that's not something that they struggled to do. So for me, this is all about January. So I'm looking at the run pass balance, all the different things last year. I didn't have a problem with what they were doing in the regular season last year. It's about getting to that moment. So for me, I don't have any let me rephrase that. I don't want to say I don't have interest because it'd be remarkable to watch, but the goal shouldn't be for Derrick Henry to have 2,000 rushing yards in the regular season, right? I mean, I don't want this to, you know, I don't think this needs to be, oh, Derrick Henry carries 300 sometimes and Lamar doesn't run at all anymore. Like, I love Lamar Jackson running the football. I don't love him running it 22 times, but I can't disagree with you more about having, you know, I have no issue with Lamar being in that 8 to 10 rushing attempts area that is typically where he is, right? I mean, again, you don't want the extreme 22, and there haven't been nearly as many of those, you know, since his first couple years in the league. But yeah, Derrick Henry's going to have a bigger workload. I'm guessing you're not going to see timeshare numbers like we saw in the past with Gus Edwards and Dobbins and Justice Hill and go down the list of all the running backs they had in 2021. Derrick Henry's going to have a bigger workload than those guys, but ideally, and I'm not counting the year he was hurt a few years back, I'd like to see Derrick Henry maybe be on the much lower end of his regular season carries with thoughts that then if you can lean into him a little bit harder, if a game dictates that, whether it's lousy weather, whether it's bitterly cold, whether it's a case where you do jump out to a nice lead in the first half, then yeah, you can lean on him and make that a little bit better. So, you know, I look at what they did last year offensively, and to me, I'm much more excited about building what they did in the passing game, not scaling it back, because I still think you're going to have to throw the football to win. Doesn't mean every single week, doesn't mean you throw 50 times. Let's be clear about that, but they're going to have to throw the football in some big spots. And look, you get back to the AFC championship and you're playing the Chiefs again. That doesn't mean you're going to, the key to victory is necessarily going to be running it 45 times either. You know, you're still going to have to make plays, and we can keep talking about the game plan, but they need their franchise quarterback to play better going up against Patrick Mahomes. And Lamar would agree with that, mind you. So if it's not for me, some fundamental change that needs to happen as far as what their season numbers look like, I'd be fine if it looked very similar, except I'm guessing instead of Gus Edwards having this amount of the carries and Justice Hill having this amount, and it, whatever the split was, it wasn't 50-50, obviously, but it'll be much more of a dominant Derrick Henry piece and Justice Hill having a smaller piece of it. That was kind of a long drawn out answer to what you asked me, but I don't have any, I don't look at this offense and say, oh, this needs to be different in the regular season. No, it doesn't. Their offense was great last year in the regular season. They need to be better in that moment when they get to January. And yes, Derrick Henry is a great tool to add to your collective toolbox of ways that you can win, especially considering it looks like Gus Edwards was on the decline. But at the same time, Derrick Henry is also 30 years old. He's not 25. So that's where I said, you better be cognizant of wanting to keep Derrick Henry as fresh as possible for January. Because if you get a lesser version of Derrick Henry in January, I don't care if he runs for 1,600 yards in the regular season. Then I would say, well, that move didn't get them over the hump after all. So that's where I kind of say, if anything, keep your foot off the gas a little bit more with him in the regular season. And then I want him fresh as possible for January, because that's when it's all that matters. And again, we're going to talk about this all year. And I know you're in agreement on this. It's all about January. It's all about January. Yeah, enjoy the games, and it's football season, and we're looking forward to that. And my goodness, Lamar is an amazing talent, and this defense, I think, is going to be excellent. And I am intrigued to see if they can work more of the two tight end stuff in with Andrews and Likely on the field. So I think that's a factor. The Derrick Henry effect is one thing. For me, I'll utter something that I've uttered in previous years. Who is the number three receiving option to emerge? Zay Flowers, I expect to take another step, probably going to be somewhere in that 1,000 yard, if not a little bit better. I don't think much higher than that. Mark Andrews is Mark Andrews, right? Who is that
Well,
number
he's
three
target
guy
one.
going to
He's
be?
target one, right?
Yeah, although, Zay's going to get targeted a lot. Zay got targeted a lot last year. I mean, those are one and 1A, right? Andrews has done it longer. So, yeah, track
Both
record
going to catch
wise,
90 balls? Okay.
could. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to,
One of the
artificially
reasons they
put.
would catch 90 balls is they're not playing seven different wide receivers and four different tight ends, and they never throw the ball to the running back. I mean, they're not going to throw the ball to Derrick Henry much. So,
Yeah.
if they are going to throw the ball 350 times for whatever the number is, 4 1/4, pick your number. They're going to chuck the ball around a bunch. Then who gets the balls and who are catching? To me, Andrews is the missing ingredient. You can talk about Likely all you wanted, but and he's getting a little older too, and should be still very prime. But I'd love to see I mean, him coming back and being a Pro Bowler would elevate Lamar even more off his MVP status, I think.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but Andrews was having a great year, and Likely was arguably their best receiver down the stretch, after Andrews got hurt. So I don't think they had drop off there as much as I think now you're looking, okay, you've seen what Isaiah Likely can do, an extended opportunity to be the number one tight end. How can you incorporate more 12 personnel to maybe that becomes your number three target with having Likely on the field more? And look, I mean, I'm not writing off Rashad Bateman, but he's got to prove it. He's got to go out and do it. And part of that is also, I need to see better chemistry between him and Lamar Jackson on the field. And that's something that we saw. There were plays left on the field last year with those two guys. With, Bateman runs the wrong route, Lamar throws an inaccurate ball, they're not on the same page, whatever it is, whoever's fault it is, and both of them have fault in it. It didn't work last year. And I'll hear to a point some of the talk about, Bateman missing practice time and things of that nature, but it's also like he also wasn't a rookie. He's now in year four. It's go time in terms of making that a thing. So, look, Bateman and Likely, I can't sit here and say that I have this great confidence statistically that they're going to have big seasons, but I think those two together morphing into whatever you need out of your number three receiving target. Because some of it is also who's going to be on the field at the same time. That's a factor, especially with
We're not
Eichel.
talking about the Tylan Wallaces or the,
No,
Devin
I mean,
Duvernays. I mean, we're not talking about any of that anymore. We're talking about we have real starters, right? I mean, that have a, these are the immer this is the base likely being in and out. By the way, Keaton Mitchell, I saw him. Leonard asked me about him. I'm like, they don't let me in practice anymore. I only know what I see on the internet. But I saw him taking pictures, and he had like a leg stocking on and was out there. November on him? Was I right in guessing that? Maybe
I
December?
think that's probably the best in the range of plausible, realistic outcomes. That's probably about the best you can expect. Would be November. I think if the Ravens can have a scenario where, let's say, Keaton Mitchell is back, I don't know, week 12, let's
Yeah, I
say
was going to say
something like that.
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is what,
And
yeah.
you can and that's look, there's also a concern. He tore three knee ligaments. So, this is there's also not so much that he won't make it back, but what's he gonna look like,
What's the
right? And
speed? How do you
we've
get
seen
that kind of
this.
speed back, right?
Right. I mean, we saw this even when Dobbins came back 2 years ago. And look, he was productive 2 years ago when he came back. But remember him sprinting out into the open field against the Steelers, and you could see when he tried to hit it to the highest gear. He was limping. He
Didn't
didn't
have
have
it.
that highest gear. Now, he was still really good. And that's not to say that Keaton Mitchell can't contribute for them. But I think the best case scenario that's realistic, right? Assuming he's not Adrian Peterson coming back from an ACL at, like the way that Peterson did and was insane, I think would be that he gets back on the field somewhere around Thanksgiving. You give him 3, 4 weeks to start ramping up, limited carries. I mean, you're still going to have Derrick Henry, right? And you still have Justice Hill. So it's not like Keaton Mitchell's going to come in and carry it 15 times a game, but, knock some of that scar tissue off and all that. Where is there a scenario where come early January, Keaton Mitchell isn't the guy he looks like last year? Because I don't know if we're going to see that. But if something close to that, boy, you want to talk. Say all you want about Derrick Henry and what that means in January. If you can have Derrick Henry and say a 90% version of Keaton Mitchell, even, boy, that's a really enticing thunder and lightning kind of combination there. That in addition to, oh yeah, Lamar
We got
Jackson
Lamar. I was
potentially
gonna say
running the ball.
he's still the best running back. And
Boy,
you said
that.
something that I would say flippantly. You said something 20 minutes ago. You're like, it's still their best play. I point that out every Saturday or every Sunday, I should say.
It's not a.
Him running the ball is their best play. They could do that 60 times a game and play magnetic football and figure out first downs and run the Navy offense and win games, and which they did 6 years. They took the league by storm doing that. But to your point, you don't want to do it that way. But it's in your bag of tricks, which makes it even more astonishing that that bag of tricks never came out back in January against the Chiefs, you know?
Yeah, well, and I'm glad to bring it back to that. And again, I know people are tired of hearing about January, but it's August, right? We're not talking about the regular season yet. Once we get into actual games, we probably won't talk about what happened in
Don't
the
worry,
AFC
we'll have no
Championship.
problem taking a look at the Raiders in week two and the Cowboys in week three. Yeah.
But part of the issue of what happened in January, yeah, I'll hear the game plan. Todd Monken, call more runs. John Harbaugh, call for more runs. I'm hearing all that. I'm not dismissing that. Go back and look. Lamar Jackson had opportunities to take off and run, and he didn't. So again, this is where I kind of said everyone kind of just collectively lost their heads, and it's like they had this in their mind how they had to beat the Chiefs, and it's like you didn't have to do it that way. They're on the strip sack play where Lamar took a really, really deep drop, and Lamar and Ronnie Stanley got beat, even though I think that was one of those plays where Lamar needs to climb the pocket better. And maybe that doesn't happen, but it happened. Go look at that play on the all 22. It was like 20 yards of open field where Lamar could have taken off and he would have been running for a while. So there was some of that that went on too. But, to go back to the Keaton Mitchell factor, if they can get him back in late November, early December, get him to the point where you're giving him, three, four, five touches a game, something like that. Get him, let him get him his feet back into it. Let him get his game clock back, knock some scar tissue, whatever. If you can get Again, I don't know if you're going to see a 100% version of this, because I think back to like Jamal Lewis in 2002 was not the same Jamal Lewis that we saw in 2003, right? Who ran for 2,000 yards. So there's always that perception, at least, that an ACL return is always, you're always better that next year after you come back than you are in that year that you actually return. But if they can get a version of Keaton Mitchell that still has some burst and still has some of that lightning breakaway speed, even if he doesn't have the absolute highest gear as we saw with J.K. Dobbins 2 years ago, then boy, that's just another dynamic factor that plays into not just, you know, and it's not even about their running game per se. I mean, it's your offense. And we've talked about this. Their offense is still, everything is still gravitates to Lamar Jackson's running ability. Whether he takes off on that play or not, it is still all centered. And that's why there is excitement about Derrick Henry having a big year and certainly being better than he was in Tennessee last year, because, you know, even with the questions of the O-line, just having that dynamic presence at quarterback and understanding a defense having to play 11 on 11 football, as we've talked about for years now with Lamar. But if you can add Keaton Mitchell into that picture too, boy, I mean, you're just talking about an offense and, you know, Likely and Bateman complimenting Andrews and Zay Flowers. I mean, when you just have that many individuals that can be a part of what you do, if you're the defensive coordinator, how in the world do you account for all of that? And that's where we go back to a word that, you know, has always been used, but I've heard it used a lot more in terms of describing the Ravens offense under Lamar Jackson: stressing the defense, putting the defense in conflict. And what that basically means is you have them doubting themselves in terms of who's getting the ball. You know, when it's, you know, when you have less at running back, yeah, you can, and we saw this in 2021, right? When Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman and the football corpse of Le'Veon Bell were running the football for the Ravens that year, because Gus and Dobbins tore their knees up in the preseason. But you know, when you have that many weapons as receivers, as running backs, and then, oh yeah, you have the second best quarterback on the planet or the third best quarterback on the planet, you know, right there behind Patrick Mahomes, and you can rank everyone else how you want, then, I mean, that's heavy for a defense, no matter how good they are, to try to account for that. So it's all about just diversifying the portfolio, right? To use an investment term. And I think if you can add Keaton Mitchell back to that mix for January, even if it's a lesser version of him, but still an effective version of him, then boy, that running game becomes that much more dangerous. And that makes the play action that much more difficult to account for and just makes this offense that much more difficult. But look, what I'm saying here is still not anything that dramatically different than what we've talked about in previous years. It still is going to come down to when you reach that moment, assuming you stay healthy and assuming you have a good year, which I fully expect the Ravens are going to do that. Health, I mean, that's anyone's dependent on that, right? You're one play away from having your season completely altered. You know, we talked about this with Jordan Westberg with the Orioles. Not quite the same deal, you know, in baseball as football, but you know, it's the same principle. Putting that aside, though, putting that assumption aside, it's all about what this team can do when they get back on that stage. So, yeah, Derrick Henry, bring it on. I'm looking forward to watching Derrick Henry. And Isaiah Likely with Mark Andrews on the field, bring it on. And you know, Rashad Bateman, a healthy year, bring it on. And hopefully Keaton Mitchell later in the year, bring it on. You do all those things and you at least figure out some answers on your offensive line, that it's at least an average group, let's say, then you should be well equipped to get back to that stage in January. And then it's just as simple as got to go out and get the job done. It really is that simple. And again, for me, it's not about needing something drastically to change fundamentally. It's, you need your MVP to play like the MVP on that stage. You need your Pro Bowl players on each side of the ball to play like Pro Bowl players on that stage. And you need your coaching staff to coach like a 13-4 team on that stage. And they didn't get that last January against Kansas City. And that's why they went home. And that's why the Chiefs won their third Super Bowl in 4 years.
You know, all that being said, we just did a half an hour on skill position. And you just said something that I think's flipping. If the offensive line's average, they'll be fine. And I'm thinking it's got to be better than average. If their offensive line is average, the whole thing could come falling apart. In my mind, the average brings everybody down when Lamar's running for his life. And we think Derrick Henry should run through any hole, even when there isn't one. So the offensive line needs to push people around a little bit, man. I mean, when I go back to 2019, Lamar was special and all that stuff. I don't even know who the hell was on the rest of the team other than Mark Ingram. I just know the offensive line graded everybody, literally.
But you also understand that the offensive line is better because of Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's a give take relationship. And let me rephrase what
But a young Ronnie Stanley, a young Orlando Brown, and a Marshall Yanda headed to the Hall of Fame, that was a whole different thing that was going on there week after week. It really was.
It was, but we also saw how that offensive line played when Joe Flacco was the quarterback the first half of the year. It wasn't nearly as good. So, your point's taken. Let me use a different word for what I mean with the offensive line. If you don't like average. Their offensive line can't be a problem. It can't be problematic in the way that it was for the Kansas City Chiefs against Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. Because the Chiefs, at that point, they had lost four starters due to injury. The point was, with that offensive line, it was well below average, and Patrick Mahomes was running for his life. So when I say average, I mean, I don't think this offensive line needs to be the best in football. I don't think it needs to be close to the best in football. I don't think it's going to be the best in football because of the amount of turnover that they have. It has to be competent and capable and disciplined and rock solid.
What's your point? Penalties?
Penalties? That means they're
broken assignments, get my quarterback killed.
Yes. According to Pro Football Focus. Or, yeah, I mean, clean. Sure. So when I say average, I meant more so in terms of don't be a liability, right? It doesn't have to be the best in the league because Derrick Henry still ran for 1,000 yards plus last year. Behind a terrible Tennessee offensive line. Terrible. Go back and look at that group. They were awful. And Lamar, even at times where their offensive line hasn't been as good, it still is a magician, right? So it's not like they need something to be, they need that group to be the 93 Dallas Cowboys, but it can't be a problem where, you're jumping the snap count and you're holding and you don't know your assignments and you don't pick up the blitz properly and Lamar gets whacked and suddenly now he's got a sore ankle that he's playing through, but he's not Lamar anymore. You can't have any of those things happen, right? So whether that means they're the fifth best, the 10th best, the 12th best, I think anywhere in that range, if they're the 12th best offensive line in the league in terms of trying to grade them independently, I think that will be good enough for them to have a heck of an offense. But if they're 22nd and they're having to rotate guys because you don't feel like you have an answer at right guard or you don't have an answer at right tackle or, Rosengarten looks okay at times and isn't as good at times. And Voorhees, if those things happen or Ronnie Stanley's hurt again and, if all those things happen, then it's going to be way more of an issue. And then you're starting to wonder what their ceiling is come January.
You know, so, I could be flipping here and say, I can't judge their offense until I know who the offensive line is. Until I see it, to some degree, because I'm not convinced it's not leaky yet. I'm convinced they have a center. I'm convinced they have hope at right tackle because they put assets into it, but they put assets into things in the draft that haven't worked out. Boy, the guard position, and I will continue to look at Ronnie Stanley as a shadow of the old Ronnie. I mean, I liked Ronnie Stanley a lot. I liked Ronnie Stanley so much. I remember when he rolled over in that game 4 years ago, I turned to my wife and said, they can't win the Super Bowl without him. And now he's not him anymore. And I'm wondering, okay, how is this going to look over 17 games and actually 20, 21 games? Cause we're just going to give them two or three playoff games, add that in. Yeah. I can't tell you how good the team's going to be till I see who the offensive line is. I really can't. I couldn't bet on this team. Like you just have them. They're going to win 12. I'm like, I don't know who their offensive line is, and that really is the most important thing. It really is, because they're there to protect the quarterback. And if they can't protect their quarterback, to your point, it always makes for a long season, no matter who it is.
Right. And I guess I'm going off of what we've seen in the past. Like, for example, 2021, their offensive line was pretty lousy. You had Alejandro Villanueva playing left tackle. He was terrible.
And by the way, when I look at Lamar's stats over the body, and he doesn't have a lot of work. He's got six or seven little lines. Mm-hmm. You look across, it's a lot of interceptions.
That was his worst season.
A lot
that
of interceptions.
Was his last, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was his worst
running
season.
For, sure. Yeah. And he didn't have the running backs. I mean, he missed Mark Ingram at that point, and I felt like guys were hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So
Bateman wasn't working out as a draft pick. All of that
I guess,
was going on.
But yeah. I guess my point where I would push back and say, look, I agree with you in terms of whether they're going to be a Super Bowl team or merely a playoff team. They were on their way to be, even with all that, they were on their way to being in the playoffs until Lamar got hurt, rolling out way to the right, and what, you know, someone tackled him on his ankle and he had a bone bruise. So my point is, I still think their floor, assuming Lamar is upright, and obviously that's the case for any quarterback worth his salt in the National Football League. For me, their floor is still wild card team, right? And maybe that means they're 10-7 if their offensive line is terrible, or let me rephrase, terrible, maybe not that, but if it's problematic, let's use that to use a better word. You know, maybe they, yeah. But if they're off, and that's why I was kind of amused even hearing you talk the way you are about the offensive line, which I don't disagree with you, but that's why I said, to me, if their offensive line can be average, which means they're not a bottom five or a bottom 10 offensive line, then to me, that means that they'll be in pretty good shape then, because I think it's a lot to expect that much turnover and that many question marks to all be answered to the point where they're a top five offensive line. So, you know, that's where I kind of said, have an offensive line that can be steady, give you a high floor of play. It can be disciplined. It knows its assignments. Even if it's not the most physically gifted or the most dominant offensive line, if you can get those elements, then to me, the presence of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson will take over from there, because those two basically serve as extra blockers. And what I mean by that is the defense has to account for those guys in differently than your average running back and your average quarterback. So even a D line going up against an offensive line, they've got to be more disciplined in their rush lanes. They've got to be more disciplined in how they play their assignment and where they're aligning, because they know that, you know, if it's a mesh point handoff or if it's Lamar Jackson dropping back to pass, that he can take off. So you can't just crash inside in the way you can when Tom Brady's the quarterback, because you know he's not going anywhere, or Joe Flacco's the quarterback because you know he's not going anywhere. So that's where I guess my point is with the O-line, it doesn't have to be the number one or number two, or even for me, the number five most talented, best line or best offensive line in the NFL. It just can't be problematic, if that makes sense. If it can be steady, if it can be a really high floor kind of offensive line where they do what they're supposed to do most plays, then I think this offense will be a very high level offense and will have every opportunity to go deep into January, which is all that ultimately matters. And some of that is also these young offensive linemen. I will also say week one, week two, week four, the O-line's probably going to struggle a little bit more. I think we should be preparing for that. But as the year goes on, if you see growth, if you see a group that's much better come week 17 and week 18.
Well, if you're seeing the same five guys, let's start with that.
Well, and that's part of it. Or it could be that Roger Rosengarten, you know, McCary might start the year at right tackle and Rosengarten takes over in week six. I mean, we saw Orlando Brown was that way his rookie year. He didn't start the year right away at right tackle, but by about, I think it was week six, week seven, something like that, he took over and was really good the rest of the way. But yeah, they've got
to
play
John Arden at guard for a year. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you never really know. So yeah, but let me be clear, as much as my expectations are high, I am working under an assumption there that they can at least get enough of an offensive line that's not going to be problematic. And your points though, your concerns there, I don't disagree with that. And they've got to figure that out. I'd say to this early point in camp, I feel pretty confident, and again, it's still early. This is not 100% ironclad, set in stone. I think we're going to see Andrew Voorhees as the left guard. I'm still not sure about right guard and right tackle. I think Rosengarten's the long term, at least by week nine. I think that's the goal. You'd love it for week one, but you know we're going to have to see. And right guard, you know, Falele's been playing there a lot, practicing there a lot. You know, but is it him, Ben Cleveland, Salah? I'm still not sure about that spot. And that's a spot that you need to make sure it is situated. We saw in 2020 after Yanda retired, how that went. And then the Ravens went and spent money the following year on Kevin Zeitler. So that's where, you know, that's a spot I'm really right guard of those three positions. Right guard's probably the one I'm most uneasy about at this point in time. But That said, still plenty of questions, still much to be answered with this offensive line between now and week one. And look, those questions are going to linger at least until we see this group play a few games that matter and see what it looks like at that point in time. So your points, you're spot on. Even if I want to say that this team, I feel 100% confident that they're going to be a playoff team, but if they're going to be a Super Bowl caliber team, a Super Bowl contending team, then yeah, there are a lot of questions to answer on this offensive line. And we just don't know that yet because it's August 1st, right? It's August, first week of August. They've got some time here, but certainly want to see guys start to, you want the cream to start rising to the top if you're John Harbaugh and offensive line coach Joe Dallasandres.
Fake football ahead for all next week. Real baseball all weekend long. Luke and I will be covering all things Guardians Orioles this week. And certainly trading deadline over now and trying to figure out this Westberg injury, as well as everything that's going on out in Owings Mills. Luke Jones is on the scene. Follow us out on social media for any breaking news, anything that's happening. Those of you inquiring about the tech service, send me an email. I'm going to be writing about that probably next week a little bit when I get some decision making made. But if you missed the tech service, we miss sending them to you. But we're still here. You're still here. I'm here. You're here. We're not going anywhere. For better or worse. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Our 26th anniversary on Saturday. I'm going to have to blow out the candles on 25 and get some new cake.